Good morning. God is good, amen. What a great time of worship, would you agree? Amen. And you know what I love about this stuff, this worship deal, is that we're doing it unto the Lord. What is beautiful for my ears, anyway, I don't know about yours, is that I can hear you sing. And it's something wonderful. It really is. If it moves me, imagine how much it moves God's heart. Because we do this by choice. We're not doing this because we're programmed to worship. We're not doing this because it's a law. We're doing this because we want to. Because there's a love of God that He's put in our heart, and we give it back onto Him in singing and song and giving and all of the stuff that we do. And I just think that must thrill the life out of God. I really do, because it's not religion. It's not. We're not doing it to get His love. We're not doing it to get salvation. We've already are loved. We're already saved if we trust in Jesus and what He done on the cross. It's all out of. We could be anywhere this morning. Did you feel that cold this morning when you put your little toes out of that bed? If you, I don't know. Like, I wanted to wear like a pair of Uggs or something to bed last night. My goodness, freezing. But we chose. We chose to get up. We chose, or some of us anyway, to wash. We chose to put on a bit of makeup for the blokes. We chose. Just think when someone goes out of their way to give you a gift or to send you a text, whatever, and you go, they thought of me. Do you ever get random presents from someone that's been in Tenerife? And it's a little, you know, hourglass thing with a donkey and made out of shells. And you give it to you and you go, you thought of me when you were on holiday. I don't know how it makes you feel, but it makes me feel good that you, in the midst of all this, imagine what God feels. Simon, what a fantastic song, by the way. I'm up there and I'm like, it just was amazing, really. And there's more to come. And I love the little high bit and all that. Just very, very, very good. And they sound like Simon Cowell now, don't they? Or Louis, you are brilliant. You look like a pop star. You sound like a pop star. You're the pop star. Oh, good night. There goes the anointing. Hang on. I'm gone red there. Look. The way out of that is to pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We do love You, Lord. And because of Your heart relentlessly chasing us down to pour out Your love upon us, we will not be afraid. The biggest fear in the Bible, when you read it through, the biggest fear that people had was the fear of God. We broke down the fear in Jesus. So we never, if you read about fear in the Bible, it's mostly around God. People, if they went into the presence of God with sin in the Old Testament, were blasted to death. That's fear. If they had one sin that wasn't covered, if they were, and He took all that away in Jesus. Now we can boldly enter into a Father because of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, this morning we want to recognize that. And Lord, because of Jesus, we will not be afraid of You. You only have good for Your kids. You only have our best intention in Your heart. And we're grateful for that, Father. And I ask that You would take Your word. And I pray that Your word would stir us, deliver us, and heal us, encourage us, build us up, Lord. Move us on, O God. Gather us near to You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was looking at the book of Jeremiah this week. Do you ever make some commitments, or you make these statements to the Lord and you go, like, you know, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Do you ever do that? And you don't last a half an hour because the kettle, you know, you have great intentions and your heart is in the right place, but you know, the smell of food is greater. Or do you ever go, like, so the other day, I'm saying all this, say this, the other day, I said, I'm going to read book through the whole book of Jeremiah. I'm telling you, it's not the most brilliant of adventurous books. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. So you can imagine, he wrote Lamentations, the book of Lamentations. So you can imagine his life. And I got about 4 or 5 chapters into it, and then I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to it. So I listened to about 2 chapters and conked out of sleep. But I've been studying the Bible for 27 years, and I have an understanding of every book, and I have an understanding of the book. The whole Bible is one story written by 40 different people. It turns into a love story of human race, the family that God wanted, leaving them. The whole middle of the Bible is about him chasing them down to come back. And then he sends his son so that everyone could come back. And Revelation's all about this family walking with the Father into eternity. And everything is to do with that. Everything. Everything you read, the things you don't understand, the things when you read in the Old Testament and go, whoa, that's a heavy, heavy attack, that one. It's all leading towards something. That mankind, the lost family, comes back to a Father who loves them. And Jeremiah is all about this. I want to tell you a bit about Jeremiah, and I'm praying this morning that what I finish with is healing and deliverance. And this morning I felt to pray when I was at home that rejection will be broken off of our lives today. Rejection, because you know what? Everyone is being visited with rejection. Everyone. There's nobody. Yeah, ask the kid that doesn't get on the football team when they're 4 years of age, or the kids in the creche that says, you're not playing with me. It's rampant. And then it's crazier in other ways. But I want to tell you a little bit about Jeremiah first. And if you want to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, that's where we're going to land. And please forgive me. I had all this up on PowerPoint and we're not able to get access to it. And it would have been all up there on the screen. But anyway, who was this Jeremiah? He was a priest in the Old Testament. He was from a small little village. Don't you love the way in the Bible, a lot of these people that God uses comes from small, obscure places and small, obscure families and clans and tribes. And God is always communicating something when you read this stuff. What was he communicating when he always tells us where these people are from? And he was brought into the priesthood to train as a priest in the Levitical priesthood, and he was groomed for a role in the future. And God called Jeremiah while he was still a young person, which is brilliant as well. That you don't have to be old, you don't have to be ancient of days to be called by God into an office or into a place. And in his ministry, what God was doing with him and what God used him in, Israel had gone, particularly Judah and particularly Jerusalem, they had gone after other gods. And he had served under 5 different kings. So there was 5 kings in the life of the ministry of Jeremiah. And through some of these kings, I'll tell you the kings, it was Josiah and Jehoshaphat, Jehoiakim, another like Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. He continued to plead God's case before Judah because God had said, look, if they don't stop doing what they're doing, that judgment is going to come. And you look in the Old Testament and you go, judgment, judgment, judgment. And yet before all that, God says to them, if they just stop going after other gods, because when they went after other gods, these other gods had a demand on the people of God also. So in this situation, what they done was, instead of building altars to God, they start building altars to other gods like Baal and Asherah. They start going on, even to the point that the people of God, the children of the Jewish nation, this race, were bringing their children and sacrificing them on altars to other gods. Now look, you go, gosh, how can anyone get to that place? We're humans, we can get to any place, believe me. And they went that far, and God raised up a voice, which he always does. And some of his contemporaries, some of the people that he was walking, not with, but were in different parts of the nation, were like people like Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Daniel, and Ezekiel. These were other prophets of God that were speaking into the nation for where they were going, that they were speaking in what they were doing. They were speaking against what they were doing and the way they were going. And all that they were doing all the time was calling them back. Come back to God. Come back to the one who loves you. Tear down those altars. And in the midst of all of this, one of the kings that got raised up was Josiah. And Josiah was a king at 21 years of age. And he was the one that found the scriptures in the temple. And he brought them back out and he looked through the law. And he says, they read the Old Testament for us. They read some of that stuff and they go, well, if we follow Yahweh, he'll bless us. If we put aside all these other things, he will give us the benefits of following him. And so he started to restore the people back to God. He started to bring the word of God back out. He started to pull down the altars. He was on a great, great mission. 18 years later, at 39 years of age, Josiah died. And there wasn't enough put into the people to turn back to God fully. And Jeremiah had this task or call to call the people back. He'd roam the streets, he'd go to the king and he'd say, there's judgment coming upon Israel unless we turn back to Yahweh. And I want to tell you, that made him not a popular person. He got threatened. He got put into stocks at the city gate under the arch of Benjamin. He got put under there and people made a laughing stock. You can imagine him going around saying he stands for God and now he's in stocks, probably people throwing rotten vegetables at him or something, laughing. Yet the great Jeremiah, he was thrown into cisterns and left to die into the depths of the city, left there to die in mud with no cloth, with no food, no nothing. No wonder he was the weeping prophet. That's what I was thinking when I was reading through this. No wonder that he had a frown on his face. No wonder he had a weeping in his spirit. No wonder he was lamenting. No wonder, because he was one of those prophets that carried nearly the grief of God for a whole nation. The grief of God for the people who were close to him, now far away from him. And he was fearless in this sense. But how, here's my point today, how did he get to this place? How does this even apply to us as believers, as people of God, as Christians? How does this stuff apply to us? Wait, let me tell you, that society was going far away from God. That society was doing their own thing. That society was sacrificing their own children. That society was neglecting the poor. That society was had no regard for the things of God. Does that remind you of any society today? And you know what? When you say anything against this society, when you stand for one thing about God in this society, I'm telling you, if you're in your workplace or if you're with family or friends, who's vilified? You are. You can't believe that ancient stuff, can you? Sure, it's not about doing what's right for you. Well, that's what they taught when they were sacrificing babies. And we're going to be called upon in the next year to vote against some of this stuff. To stand up for the unborn. That's what we're going to be. And when you see this, not the same society, but our society come against you, it doesn't change. Talk about anything religious, anything. Isn't everyone not going after their own God? You know the factory in I think it's in Blanchestown. I know there's one in Dundrum. Build a bear. That's our society. Build your own God. The God what you want him to look like, what you want it to look like, you know, whatever it is. But it's your God. It's not the God of heaven, but it's your God. That's our society. Do what's right for you. In fact, you can have multiple gods. His society was the same. And God raised up a voice. And I don't mean a voice of condemnation. Not a voice of, you wretched Dublin people. You wretched. That's not the voice of God. The voice of God is relentless in bringing the lost home. They're not going to come home to a God of vengeance. Jesus took the vengeance of God. On the cross, his punishment brings us peace. By his wounds, we are healed. He gets it and we get all the good stuff when we believe in him. He took it. God's anger, God's wrath, God's judgment. He was pulverized. Not by the Romans, not by the devil, but by his Father. For what? For us. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus seen all this in some way. He was able to see the joy in his suffering because he's seen you and me even today coming into his kingdom. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And Jeremiah, God called him, and here's where he called him from. It says in chapter 1, verse 1, where he's from and who he belonged to. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehonatan, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. You ever read that stuff and you go, what's all that about? You didn't even hear any of that, didn't you? Didn't you not? You didn't. I know you didn't. But listen, it talks about people, kings, times, dates, days, years. God has a time and a place for everything in our lives. There's been a time allotted. There's been a time set. You go, what God is trying to communicate? I know the days, the months. I know the people in your life. I know the people who rule the nation. I know your father. I know your mother. That's how much I know you. And he's trying to tell us that he has a place and a time for all things in him. So we go down, and here's this Jeremiah. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord says to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and says to me, I put my words in your mouth. See, today I've appointed you over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. He said, what do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said, you've seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I say, I see a pot that is boiling. Something coming to its fulfillment. I answered, it is tilting toward us from the north. The Lord says to me, from the north, disaster will pour out upon all the people who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples to the northern kingdoms. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against the towns of Judah. He was talking about Babylon, who was going to come in and take the people captive. I will announce my judgments on the people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, in worshiping with what their hands have made. So get yourself ready. I say this the way I read it. And all this is going to happen. Get yourself ready. Stand up. Say to them whatever I tell you. Do not be terrified, or I'll terrify you before them. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not win. They will not overcome you, for I will rescue you, says the Lord. So the Lord says to Jeremiah, before... So he's going into his nation. He's going to call them back. He's going to be, the king is going to come against him. The people are going to come against him. The people in his own little town in Anathoth, they came against him. They threw him down cisterns. They left him to starve. They left him to die. And before all that happened, God says, listen to this, Jeremiah. Before any of that, before chapter 2, before chapter 3, before chapter 39, before any of that, God says to him, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You were born. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet. He was saying to him, before anything ever existed, I had you in my heart. Before yesterday. The word of God to Jeremiah is the word of God to you and me as we go in to a nation, into a city, into our workplace, into our families, when things are going, he says, things are going to come against you. But they won't win. Because I will rescue you. And he says, and before anything, I had you in my heart. My heart was filled with love. My plan was full of significance. Your life is to be one of purpose. Before your great-granda existed, your great-grandma existed, God knew you. Before your granny or granddad, before your mom or dad, before the internet, God knew you. Before Man United, he knew you. Before you met your wife or husband, he knew you. Before the economic crash, he knew you. Before your first job, before your first kiss, he knew you. You were on his mind. Before the first musical note was ever heard, he knew you. Before this first sunshine, before the first flower bloom, before the first raindrop, before the first taste of chocolate, before the first rainbow was ever seen, he had you in his mind. Before all things, you were on his mind. Before the first fish swam in the sea, before the first scent of a beautiful meal, you were on his mind. Before the first superstar, before the Beatles, before Elvis, before your first child, before your first car, before your first haircut, you were on his mind. In your mind, he was full of love and significance. And before World War I and World War II, you were on his mind. Before the Cold War crisis, you were on his mind. With his heart full of love and purpose and significance for you. Before hurricanes, famines, diseases, earthquakes, and rumors of wars were ever heard, you were on his mind. Before sin, before pain, before your failure, before air abuse, before addiction, before marriage breakdown, before woundedness in your life, before disappointments, before money trouble, you were on his mind. Before relationship issues, family issues, teenager issues, before brokenness issues, homelessness issues, sinfulness issues, you were on his mind. Before all of these things, he said to Jeremiah, Before I'm sending you, before I'm releasing you into this world, I need you to know before all of that, you were on my mind. Before Brexit, before Liberty Church, before your favorite author, singer, preacher, prophet, before Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jeremiah, Daniel, Nehemiah, you were on his heart. Before King David, King Solomon, King Uzziah, King Josiah, before Moses, Joshua, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, Elijah, Joseph, you were on his mind. Before Adam and Eve, you were on his mind. Before the foundations of the earth was laid, you were on his mind. Before the sky was put into place, before stars were told to shine, before the sun was told to stand there, before the moon was told to come out at night, you were on his mind. Listen to what Ephesians says. Ephesians 1, it says, he chose us in Jesus. Amplified version, actually selecting us for himself as his own before the foundations of the world, so that we would be holy, that means consecrated, set apart for his purpose, and we would be blameless in his sight. All of this in love. Jeremiah, listen, you're going to face stuff, but before everything was, I had this plan for you. You were in my heart. You were in my mind. And not only that, but I had a plan and a purpose woven into your DNA that there's a time and place and space and time where that will be activated and you will do something in this world for me. Now, Jeremiah, there might be stuff that's going to come against you. Don't be afraid, because the God who was before all things is the God who's with you now. The God who selected you, the God who has you placed in this time, in this space, in history, wherever you live, wherever family you are born, he says, I've placed you at this time in history to do something. And these days is the time of when I'm activating what you are called to do. He says, before, listen to what he says, before anything was, I formed you. Well, who's this I that formed us? God says to Moses, go in and tell the people, go in and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses, who will I tell him sent me? God says, tell him, I am sent you. And Jeremiah, he's this I am. He says, before anything was, I formed you. The great I am formed you. The God who doesn't depend on anything, but everything depends on him. That's the I am. The I am who is not defined by anything, but everything is defined by him. The I am is not kept in being by anything, but he keeps all things in being. This I am made everything that has been made. This I am is absolutely sovereign, transcendent, pure, self-sustaining, self-existent, incomprehensibly beautiful. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-governing, everywhere at once, fills everything in every way. This is the God that says, Jeremiah, I formed you. The God that is a genius. The God that is, that says, I am the way. The God that says, I am the truth. The God that says, I am the life. The God that says that before all things I was. The God that says, I am the beginning and the end. The God that says, I am good, the good shepherd. I am creator. I am your father. I am your forgiver. I am your salvation. I am your sustainer. That's who the I is that's formed us and shaped us. That's the I am who is calling us in to do things for him. It's not just some Mickey Mouse signing up to a church program. For crying out loud, get me out of here, Jesus. All over the place, churches are signing up the dream team. And we've reduced the dream team to serving on doors, which is a good thing to do. But God's dream is to win the world back to himself. This is his dream. And he invites us all to be part of that dream team. Yeah, we have to serve. Yeah, it's right that we welcome people. But we can't reduce the call of God. Down to that's the dream team. That's man's dream team. That's man's vision for the building and for the people's dream team. God's dream team. I'm sending you out like lambs to wolves. That's his dream team. Since when are lambs not afraid of wolves? Because God doesn't call just lambs, he calls lambos. That goes in, and how come wolves be afraid of lambs? The are when they're dressed in the armor of God. The are when you have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, and the shoes of the gospel, and the sword in the hand, the shield in the hand. I'm telling you, any wolf would run from that lamb. A lamb filled with purpose, known to I am, is called that lamb. He'll send you out into the wolves, and the wolves will go. They're marked by God. They've been sent by God, the creator, before everything was, before the wolves was. He was, and he's sending this person out. I am your Lord, I am your healer, I am your righteousness, I am your provider, I am your peace, I am your protector, I am your victory, I am your breakthrough, I am your friend, your strength, your rock, your everything, your keeper, your strong tower, your freedom. He's saying to Jeremiah, I am God, and I have formed you in your mother's womb, even way before the foundations of the earth. I've shaped you, I've molded you, I've given you that smile. I've given you that personality, because that personality and smile and shape and make of who you are is going to do something for me in this world. That we have to stop rejecting ourselves by the way we look. Because he says, I've shaped you, you beautiful little yoke, you know. Do you know why I put that mirror out there? I bought that mirror. I went to Capel Street. I seen it. During the time of the boom, I'm buying that for the church. Why did I buy it for the church? Because I want everyone to look in it. This was the message at the time. Jesus says to the disciples, who do they say I am? Some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah. Because who do you say I am? Peter says, I say you're the Christ. That hasn't been revealed to you by heaven, by earth, that's been revealed to you by heaven. That was my message. Here's why I believe Jesus was saved, because they're saying this again as well. Who do you say you are? Who are you saying? I'm not saying what's going on in your life, because that can define us in the nail. Who formed you? Who called you? Who made you? Who created you? Before everything was, you were you in God's eyes. Man, I come from a long, long, long way back. I might look 21, but I come from a long way back in the heart of God. Before the foundation, I don't care what they say, billions of years, hundreds of billions of trillions of years, 4,000 years, where all that was, wherever they think, I was in him. Man, that makes me sick. makes my life purposeful. Why was I born on the 22nd of December? Why was I born on the 22nd of December, which is coming up in about a month or something? It's another offering, the great big birthday present for all. No one has it. I don't want that noise. Why was I born the 22nd of March, 1989, at 257 Dalton House? To William Vera Kennedy. That was me born again one. Sorry. Once a man and twice a child. Natural birth, born again. 22nd of December, 1960s. Thanks, Sharon. You don't hear me giving out your birth dates. 1958. Why? Why you in your family? Why you in whatever? I'm the second youngest. Why you? Why now? Why your shape, your continent, your country, your county, your town, your village? Why? If God had you in mind way, way back before the foundations of the earth, before anything was, before all of that, you were in his heart. Why now? Because you have a life that he wants to use full of purpose and significance. It's not random. It's not from the goo to the zoo to you. It's not about a big bang and blah, and it turns out to be you. It's an insult. An insult to humanity. Insult to Creator. Insult to you. You were born for such a time as this. God says, before all, you were in my heart. And not only that, but I formed you. And not only that, listen to what he says. Before he said, I formed you, I knew you. What? How could he know you before the foundations of the earth? Because he was there before the foundations of the earth. And you were in his heart before the foundations of his earth. He knew you before the foundations of... The word in Hebrew is called Yada. Let's say it together. Yada. If you're Chinese, you go, Yada. Say Yada. Say Yama. This is what it means to be acquainted, to be aware, to bring forth this yada, this knowing you, to be comprehended by somebody, for someone to experience the depth of your personality. It's about someone who has intimate relationship with you. This is Yada. Not someone who just goes, how are you? But someone who knows, who says, how are you? And knows how you move, how you walk, how you talk, the things that you perceive, the things that you observe, the things that makes you you, the skills, the talents that he's put into you. This is what Yada, and he says, before I, Yada, was acquainted with you, knows you. Then you go, but how did I end up being who I am today? Because he knew before, because he is I am, because he knows you intimately, this is what he was saying to Jeremiah. There's brokenness going to come into your life, Jeremiah. There's people going to attack you, Jeremiah. You're going to be thrown down a cistern. You're going to be discarded by people. But don't let that define you, because before all things, I knew you. I formed you, I shaped you. And what he does when we become believers, he brings us back into in emotionally, physically, even mentally, because we've and spiritually, it brings us into the people that we were meant to be originally. Powerful. Full of grace and love. That's what the word in theology is, sanctification. He's making us into the image of who we were birthed in, which is Jesus. So don't let these other things define us. Let's look at them today and say, no, you're not defined to me. Before I was abused, I was in his heart. Before I was rejected, I was in his heart, perfected in him. And in these days, I'm being perfected in him. And one day I will be fully perfect as I am perfect in Him. It's like an oven.
Not as far as I got in Jeremiah.
As I've appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. I made you. I know you. The purpose is that Jeremiah, I've appointed you. It was the time of appointment for you, Jeremiah. These are the days. And if mom and dad has rejected you, he hasn't. Society has rejected you, he hasn't. That when you know, when we know our significance in him, and we fall into that place, and allowing him to define us, then we won't live out of the place of the things that have tried to define us in the negative. You can't have. You won't have. You'll never do. Look at you. You're broken. Amen. I'm going to Jesus because he makes me whole. I feel like I'm a nothing. I go to him. He makes me something. I feel like I have all minuses in my life. I go to him. He brings the pluses into my life. Where am I going to live? I'm going to be straddled between these two existences for the rest of my life. In him I'm ill. I'm bad. I'm good. Take a step over. Make a decision. Don't let anything else define you. Don't let our past, our addictions, our brokenness, our family line, don't let them define us anymore. God is saying, I formed you. Don't let your mistakes define you. I forgive you. I cleanse you. I move you forward. I go before you. I'm above you. I'm below you. I'm on either side of you. I. Who's I? I am God. But Lord, you don't know. I do know. Remember Yada. I know everything about you. I know things about you you don't know about you. Because you don't know tomorrow. Lord, you don't know what was done to me. I do know. You don't know what I've done. I do know. Yada. I know the things your husband doesn't know. Your partner doesn't know. Your best friend doesn't know. Them things that are hidden. I know them. And it doesn't change the way I look at you. Doesn't change my plan. The plan and purposes and call of God are irrevocable. That's what the Bible says. He's not holding back. And at the end, he says this. At the end of the chapter, you can read it yourself. I wish I spent a lot of time doing them slides. A beautiful picture of the world, half of the page, and underneath I had before that was. Then the next one, I had another one. I just had the letter I. And the next one was the scripture. And the next one was the scripture. And then the next one was the last scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17 and 19, I think it is. I'll get it. Listen to what he says. Jeremiah, I'm saying all these things over your life. You're like, I'm too young. He's like, stop making excuses, Jeremiah. I don't know how to speak. No, Jeremiah, that's not going to be enough. Anything that we say against what he's called us, he says, he's like, no, it doesn't stand up. That argument doesn't stand up, son. But I can't speak properly. Doesn't stand up. What? Yep. He called him and told him not to be afraid. He told him in chapter 1, I'll fulfill my word to you. I will rescue you when they come against you. He's thrown down a cistern to die. And someone went to the king and says, Jeremiah's in the cistern. The king says, go on down. God will not let what he's put in you die. He'll get people to come along, go into the cistern. No, Lee, get up. God has a purpose for you. I'm in the mud, I'm sinking. He has a plan. Before you were in the mud, he knew this. Before you existed, he knew you. He formed you, he shaped you. Your life is to be full of love and significance and purpose. How do I get out of this? Grab me hand. The prophetic voice of God is in you. God wants to reach in and pull it out. I've messed up. I'm in the muck. Not enough. Come on. There's people against me. Come on. Will I ever fulfill it? Come on. I'll fulfill my word. That's what he said. You're seeing correctly, son of man. You're seeing correctly, Jeremiah. I will complete my word. Even if they throw you away, I'll bring you back. You'll be like a boomerang. They fling it as far as they can, but it's going to come back. Even like a bouncing ball. They'll throw you away, but it'll come off a wall somewhere. Come right back. And in the end, this is what he says to Jeremiah. Get yourself ready. This is my New Year's message. Get yourself ready. There's a new season. There's a new chapter. Stand up. Be counted. Say, here I am. Nullago Kionig is Adam. Ready for my orders, Jesus. If you ask me to wash feet for the rest of my life, Jesus, I'll do it singing and whistling. I'm telling you I would, Lord. If you ask me to go to the nation, I'll go to the nation. I'm telling you I would, Lord. All I can own is what I say today. I can't let tomorrow define me because I don't own tomorrow. I can't let the past define me because I can't change it. But I'm standing today. Your old call is being called out yonder. No, like O'Kunig is here, sir. I'm ready for orders. Stand up. Stand up. He'll get us to fulfill his word. Say to them whatever I tell you to say. Do not be terrified. So listen to what he says to Jeremiah, because he knew he was going to face something. He says, today I've made you a fortified city. So, Jeremiah, I've made you like the strongest city you could ever imagine. Remember the Old Testament days? When you see around Ireland and other parts of Europe, the city had a wall around. She said, I'm going to make you like one of them walls. I'm going to make you strong, fortified. Meaning, you're not easily penetrable. That the arrows that come against you before are not going to win this time. That the enemy that throws stones is not going to hit you because it's going to hit a wall. I'm going to make you an iron pillar. You're not going to be bent over easy. You're not going to be swayed easy. You're going to be like an iron pillar. You're going to stand strong, Jeremiah. You're going to fulfill what I have to call. When the winds come, and look, trees might blow, but iron doesn't blow around. I'm going to make you this iron. I'm going to make you a bronze wall that when the enemies come against you, they run into something that is stronger than them. And he says, and they will come against you, but they will not overcome you. What's that? Not New American. New Living Translation says, they will not win you. They will come against you, but they will not win you. Why? Because I will rescue you, says the Lord. I believe God wants to fortify us. For what purpose? To fulfill what he's called us to do. Not to make us stubborn. But that which comes against you will have no power over you anymore. Why? Because I am, as I understand. Why? Before this battle was ever was, he was. Let's stand. I want to look at Simon and the team come back. I've asked them about doing that song. Listen to the words of it. In the end of it all I can say is thank you. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're for me. Thank you that you created me. Thank you that before all things I was in you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. It's known all these things. Can I ask you to put your hands out of your business? Just receive. You found out by now we're not wacky. Well, as wacky as you thought. God is in this place. And God put Jeremiah in my heart. Which meant he had you in mind when he was giving me this word. That you needed to hear before all things. You were in his heart. With that knowledge, I break off and break down strongholds of rejection. You are significant. You are loved. Your life is one of purpose. Before that rejection ever happened, you were already in God's heart. And today he's going to fortify you in that area that the enemy cannot land there anymore. You might press that button, but it's not going in because it's a brick wall now. You can press it and press it, but there's no answering that door anymore. But he's made me of iron today. You may come against me, but you will not overcome me. Because he who made me before the foundations of the earth has fortified me, has called me, loves me, redeemed me. I'm his. And Lord, I know in these days you're getting us ready. And you don't want the lambs going out full of rejection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of him who created you. In the name of him in whom you're loved, redeemed, made perfect. I break the power of that rejection of your love. I cancel its power in the name of Jesus. I cut off its tentacles into the other areas of your life right now in the name of Jesus. I release into your life a fortification of who you are, loved, redeemed, significant, purpose-filled. I release the power of the provision of God to fulfill his word in your life, into your life right now. I call you up out of the cistern, out of the deep place that the enemy had signed off for your grave. I call you up. It's not a place of grave. It's not a place of dead. It's a place now of resurrection in Jesus' name, where you will rise up and the prophetic call of God on your life will be fulfilled in Jesus' name and for his glory. I pray right now, Lord, that people will hear you, know you, Lord, see you, Lord, in different ways, Father, that they would know the call. There won't be did call, maybe God called, maybe some man said it to me that prophesied on my life that this is what I was going to do. Lord, amen to that, Lord, but right now, Lord, that we hear God. Jeremiah said, God said to me. The Lord spoke. The word of the Lord came to me. I release you to hear him. I release you to see him. He says to Jeremiah, you've seen correctly. God showed him stuff. What do you see? What do you see? Say it to the Lord, what you see. Things that you know he spoke to you. Say it to him. Let you hear him say, you've seen correctly. Words of affirmation, words of confirmation for you. Would you put the hand on the shoulder of someone? You know when we were singing that song and the bit at the end, I won't be afraid as long as you stand by me. I know we were singing that about Jesus standing by us. But I was singing that like about standing by each other. I won't be afraid if you stand with me, because I know you'll be encouraging. I won't be afraid if you just speak over my life the words that we hear in the scriptures. I won't be afraid as long as you stand with me. That's the way he's created us, to be standing with one another, connected to one another. That's what the body is. So will you pray for that person? Because believe me, them fulfilling the call of God is going to benefit you and your family and the city and the nation and the nations. The Bible talks about building one another up. Why? Because that person who's built up will fulfill the call. Bless the nation, the nations. Who knows what's in this room? Who knows what's in this room? Who knows what's in this room? Who knows what God has for you? My goodness, the potential in this room. The potential in this room. Ignite it, Lord. Ignite it in the spirit of each one, oh God. Their potential, oh my goodness, Ireland could be one with those who's in this room. One prayer from you could change this nation. Who knows what's in this room? Missionaries, tycoons, movie stars that will speak for Jesus. Who knows what's in this room? You're muttering someone who's going to be significant in the land. Some here are going to give birth to children that are going to rock this land. You're going to rock this land. Who knows what's in this room? Songs that's going to change culture could be in this room. Art that can change the way society looks at things. Just Lord, put your picture in their hearts, Lord. For the artists, Lord. The singers, the poets, the dancers. The gymnasts. What are you, honey? What did they call you? A lyrical dancer. Put it in our hearts, Lord. Picture of significance. 450 million, a picture of Jesus was sold. It was painted, what, in the 17th century or so? Jesus wants to put a picture right in your mind and heart right now. He wants to show you himself. Just receive it. Pray for that person to receive. Everything changed for Jeremiah because he received. I received the word from the Lord.